Welcome back. You're with the news at one. Political talks among the main parties in Northern Ireland resumed in Belfast this morning. Minister for Foreign Affairs Charlie Flanagan, who is co-chairing the negotiations, said significant progress was made last week and that he is hopeful the work can now be completed. For her part, Northern Ireland Secretary Teresa Villiers has warned that the efforts to find consensus must end today, with or without agreement. For more, we can talk to our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman, who is following developments. Tommy, Teresa Villiers saying that if there's no agreement today, there isn't going to be one and the process ends in failure. What expectation is there that a comprehensive deal can and will be reached?
Well, Jonathan, you know the players, you know the issues, and you also know the history. This time last year, these parties were around the table under the chairmanship of Richard Haass and Megan O'Sullivan, and they failed to reach compromises on very, very substantial problems like flags and parades, and in particular the kind of structures and the processes that are needed to deal with the past. So we've had 12 really, I suppose, stodgy months is the way I might describe the nature of politics at Stormont for the past 12 months, where very little, I suppose, important decision making was reached. Now, added to the agenda over the past 12 months, they've had this problem of how to deal with their reduced budget from Westminster, and that includes the issue of welfare reform. They have cracked that particular question in terms of all parties agreeing a common position. And now they're attempting to have a look at the matters that were on the agenda under Richard Haass. And OK, they've had 12 difficult months here, but I think at this time of the year, I always think of, say, this time 10 years ago, when people were actually casing the Northern Bank, beginning to carry out what was the biggest bank robbery in Northern Ireland's history. In the weeks after that, we had the murder of an innocent man, Robert McCartney, and we had an absolute crisis in the peace process. So I suppose one can say that at the moment, the problems they're discussing are political ones, and, you know, you don't have violence on the streets.
Now, you mentioned obviously some outstanding issues, but the one area in which there has been some agreement relates to the budget. A proposal sent to the British Prime Minister David Cameron, a request for over £2 billion sterling of extra funding and loans over the next decade. There was a conversation between the First Minister, Peter Robinson, Deputy First Minister Martin McGuinness and Mr Cameron over the weekend. But implementation of that depends on agreement on the other issues, which are, as you say, are far more vexatious.
That's quite right, Jonathan. And just to give you the update on that particular request and David Cameron's response, Teresa Villiers, who's the Northern Ireland Secretary of State and the direct link to the British government, she said this morning that David Cameron's offer would be generous, but it would have to take into account the difficult fiscal situation in the UK. Now, we understand that at midday, all five of the party delegations were handed a detailed response from the British government that has been formed by David Cameron, and they're now studying it now. My understanding is they're unlikely to get everything that they have requested, and they will also seek some clarification on elements of this paper that Mr. Cameron has returned to them. But the parties at the moment are locked in their own delegation rooms, going through the offer line by line. And I suppose we'll have a more formal response in the afternoon. But as I would see it, it's probably a work in progress. I think it's also worth stating that the Americans are keeping an eye on these negotiations. You had Gary Hart, a special envoy, appointed in the past 2 months. He has been over to Northern Ireland for a week in recent times, meeting all the parties. You also have interest from the US consulate in Belfast, and indeed from the new ambassador who's based in Dublin. And I think it's fair to say one could expect that the Americans would be urging the British to do the right thing in terms of finance if all the other elements of this agreement are in place.
While most of the issues on the agenda have been rumbling on for years, the row over welfare reform poses a pressing threat to the very future of the power-sharing institutions. That document given to the parties at noon, which they're going to go through line by line, is it the hope that that will give them enough to encourage them to reach agreement on those other issues?
You're so right about welfare reform, because if you look at the kind of measures that have been implemented, the cost savings that have been implemented across the water over the past 3-4 years, up to now, Northern Ireland has been protected from the most severe of those cuts. And this is something that has been building and building and building, the difficult decisions that the Northern Ireland administration must take. And their position would seem to be to try to negotiate the best possible set of measures that would allow them flexibility. Would say, for instance, the number of people who were adversely affected by the troubles and say the difficulties that created for the poorest of communities. Now, if the offer from David Cameron has sufficient money in it, in general terms, there may actually be enough flexibility in that for all the parties to support it. But of course, with the Cameron offer, the devil will be in the detail. And I suppose you also have to take into account David Cameron's position. He's Prime Minister now, but he's facing elections in May. The parties are looking for commitments that will run over a 10-year period. So it's to see, you know, what his version of reality is and what they will be prepared to accept. Another really important point to make in relation to the matters left over from the Haas negotiations. One of the big questions there is the problem in North Belfast, where you've had a group of loyalists setting up a camp very close to Holy Cross Church in Ardoyne, and they say they will not leave that camp until they're given permission to march back up a road past nationalist homes. That's a really, really tricky issue, because as one person very close to these negotiations said to me, it's one place where you could see blood on the streets unless we get a compromise that works.
Okay, Tommy, thanks indeed for that. Our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman. And as those details of David Cameron's offer become available, Tommy, we'll bring them to listeners and viewers of RTÉ Television Radio News.